AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to segment 3 of our coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh, day 10 on the 7th of February, 2023. Let's go right to the courtroom.
Cross-examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, could we renew our request for a limiting instruction? We went a half a day hearing all these financial misdeeds, and I don't want the jury to be lost on what the purpose is.
Any comment, Mr. Waters?
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I gave this limiting instruction yesterday, and I'll repeat it, that this evidence of these financial crimes and other crimes that you're now having receiving testimony on it, it's regarding the contention that the defendant was involved in other criminal activity. That is not evidence or proof of the offenses charged in the indictment, those charges being for murder, 2 counts, and possession of a weapon during the commission of a crime, 2 counts. This testimony is being allowed for the limited purpose in assisting the state in proving motive. You may not consider it for purposes of character of Mr. Murdaugh, nor may you consider it as evidence that he has the propensity to commit other crimes, or that it is more likely that he committed the crimes with which he is currently charged. It's being allowed based on the state's representation that it helps explain the defendant's motives for which he is accused. And you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'll show you Exhibit 314. You just put that up. You can do it for me, Doug. This is a summary of, was a listing of clients of the firm who the law firm had to reimburse because of Alex's misconduct. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now you have been, the law firm has been working with various law enforcement agencies since September of 2021, I suspect, sharing all of this information?
Yes.
And with regard to Exhibit 314, it would appear that the law firm, just for all of these clients, have paid out over $2.8 million, is that right?
That's right.
And in a real way, the law firm is a victim of this conduct.
Correct.
And for each one of these client transactions that the law firm had to repay, I mean, you're aware that Alex has pending criminal charges for every single one of them.
Don't I'm aware of that.
Okay. And the same with the Palmetto State Bank matters that you talked about.
Correct.
He has pending criminal charges for every single one of them.
Yes.
And we're not here today to try those charges on the financial crimes. We're here, you understand, you're testifying because he's been charged with the murder of his wife, Maggie, and his son, Paul.
I do.
And they were murdered on June 7th, 2021, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, some of these, it looks like, according to your testimony, that this misconduct has been going on since as early as 2011?
Unfortunately, when we found that out.
Right. So some 10 years before the murders of Maggie and Paul, correct?
That's correct. He managed to fool a lot of people, myself included.
I understand. And I understand you have the right to be very hurt and angry about that. And are you hurt and angry about that?
Oh, yes. I take it very personally. It haunts me that I let this, or that this happened.
You feel like it happened on your watch? And
I think anybody would feel normal feeling like that. It's a big betrayal of trust.
And Ms. Seckinger, when I'm asking you these questions, I'm not in any way diminishing your feelings and your anger. I'm just trying to flush out how these relate to the murder of Maggie and Paul.
I understand that.
Okay, thank you. But it would appear that this has been going on for years and years and years.
Unfortunately, yes,
right.
It appears.
And it has cost the law firm in 2021, and still, you know, over $5 million you've paid out.
That's correct.
And when we're talking about the law firm, I mean, we're really talking about lawyers in the firm, his brother Randy, correct?
That's right.
Johnny Parker, who's now the firm's named after.
Right.
Ronnie Crosby.
Right.
Lee Cope.
Correct.
Mark Ball.
Correct.
And others that have come out of their pocket to reimburse clients.
Yes, they did.
Now the forge. Well, let me strike that. On June 7th, 2021, the day Maggie and Paul were murdered, you went to Alex's office sometime in the early afternoon or mid-afternoon, and to try to get to the bottom of, where's the fee that Chris Wilson's office says they wrote to you for the Ferris case?
Correct.
Right. And he looked at you and he said, what do you want now? Right?
Yes, he did, when I was coming up the steps.
And you said, I wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't up here asking you about this.
That's correct.
And I think you said he kind of had an angry look initially.
He did. When I walked up the steps, he gave me a very disgusted look and said, what do you need now?
But then once you got in his office, his demeanor changed. And
he did.
And he assured you that the check was, the funds were still in Chris Wilson's trust account. Right?
He did.
And as we, and as sort of fast forward, in September the 3rd, I believe it was, 2021, Annette Griswold from your firm found a canceled check written from Chris Wilson's law firm directly to Alex Murdoch, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that check wasn't written to Forge Consulting?
No, it was written to Richard Alexander Murdoch, Esquire.
And of all of these papers that you have been introduced in part of your investigation, That's the only time that, at least in these documents that you brought to court, where Alec has gotten a check directly, personally, from another law firm, and it didn't go to PMPED, right?
We discovered during the investigation that there had been another time that had happened, but that was not discovered by myself.
Okay. And that was with Chris Wilson's firm also?
Yes.
All of the other stuff that you brought here and talked about since 9:30 or so this morning involved this fake Forge account, right?
Correct.
And then there's some stuff involving Palmetto State Bank going back 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, early on?
Correct.
With regard to the events of June the 7th, when you went and talked to Alec and you were asking him about where's the fee money, you had previously spoken to, I guess, Lee Cope or someone in the firm?
Lee Cope.
And wasn't the concern at the time that Alec was trying to shield income from disclosure in the lawsuit that where he was a defendant, that where he was being sued following the boating crash where Mallory Beach lost her life tragically?
Yes, at that point we thought he was trying to shelter money or move money into his wife's name or reduce his income for the year by not claiming tax, by not collecting a fee.
Right, and one of the reasons you thought that is because you had talked to him about what looked to be an odd way to structure an attorney's fee with the Hershberger case.
Correct.
And he explained that he didn't care about the tax consequences. He was just trying to get money in the Maggie's name and not his name because of the boating accident.
That's correct.
And that was the concern and alarm within the firm, is that we're not going to participate in any way to shield high income from civil disclosure in a court proceeding.
That's correct.
Because that goes against the ethics and standards of the law firm and lawyers in that firm.
That's correct.
And no one at the time was thinking that Alec was stealing money from the firm, right?
I had my suspicions on whether it was really in there, but we were not pursuing it as stolen money.
Okay. And you had seen that, and I think it was May of 2021 or May 12th or something, that a disbursement sheet where attorney's fees went to Forge on the Hershberger settlement.
Correct.
Now, it's not the first time the lawyers in the firm have previously structured attorney's fees in big settlement cases, haven't they?
Once.
One time? And the way that works is the money goes from the defendant insurance company or defendant company or the source of payment. It goes not to the law firm and then to the lawyer. It goes to some financial entity, whether it's an insurance company or something. And then that money is then paid out in annuity over the years to the lawyer.
That would be the correct way.
And you delay taxes by not taking the money, right?
Correct.
And that's how it was done in the past.
Correct.
The one time it was done.
Right.
Okay. And your concern here was that's not how you do it, because it looked like the money came into the firm and then it was written out to Forge for structure of a payment according to Alec.
Correct. It would not have been the way it came in. It would not have been credited to his account. It would have just looked like it was going out as an item. So it would not have been accounted for correctly.
Right.
And he also did not discuss it with anybody in the firm or have permission to do that.
And the one time that it happened previously, I don't know what the amount of the fee was, but the point of the matter is that money never came into the firm, but all the partners knew about it, you knew about it, and you were able to include it in your calculations?
Yes.
Including the 7.5% that the lawyer is responsible for paying into the, I guess, to the
kitty
distribution fund or whatever it is?
Okay. Yes.
That's sort of a leveling account that helps lawyers who haven't had a good year, brings them up, and you know, it just sort of smooths out.
It kind of smooths out overhead, the different offices having different costs. Okay.
But when Alec had given you that explanation and you said, that's not proper, you're going to get taxed, and he said that I don't care, you know, I'm trying to get money in Maggie's name, help Michael Gunn out. I mean, that you never talked to Alec about the Hershberger fee again, did you?
Not to my recollection. Not since after the murders happened, we did not discuss any of that.
The Chris Wilson issue was, there was a settlement in the Ferris v. Mack Truck case. The law firm receives an expense check to reimburse the firm for the expenses, but where's the fee? Where's the fee? And that's what started the questions being asked.
That's right.
Okay. And you went in on June 7th to ask Alec about that. You know, you got to show me proof if it's in his trust account. Is that right?
Right. I told him we had reason to believe that he had received the money, and I needed proof that he had not.
And during that meeting, he received a call that his father was being put back in the hospital.
Or was in the hospital and was terminal, that they had decided that there was nothing else they could do for him and he'd be terminal.
And you took off your CPA hat and your CFO hat and you befriended him.
Correct.
Because you knew how close he was to his father, is that right?
I do.
And you know, and this father was a well-known lawyer and was a legacy name in that law firm?
Well, that didn't really mean anything to me. I'd just known him since I was 15, 16 years old. I didn't think of him in terms of that. I thought of him in terms of a friend and my friend's father.
Right. And the Alex close to his father?
Yes.
And his mother?
As far as I know.
And his family, he was close to his family.
As far as I know, I had not spent any time with him around his family in over 17 years.
Okay. But after you learned that his father was going back in the hospital or was in the hospital and was terminal, well, just fast forward. This was the 7th of June, correct?
Yeah, the Monday the 7th.
Yeah. And on the 10th, Mr. Murdoch died, did he not?
I believe that was the date, yes.
Okay, just a few days after this he died. Of natural causes.
Yes.
And so when you learned on the 7th that his father was terminal or going back in the hospital, you became his friend and you didn't continue your inquiry anymore that day. Right.
No, because I had told him what I needed, and he knew what I was expecting to get back, and I was under the impression he was leaving to go care for his father. And in our firm, we're very family-oriented, and anytime there's an emergency or something we need to do, we grant the person the time off, and I made the assumption he was going to go take care of that.
Right. And then you learned that night that Maggie and Paul were murdered.
Right.
What was your, I think you said in your testimony that your initial reaction, you were scared, you were afraid. What were you scared of?
Well, when this happened, there was a lot of rumors rolling around. Nothing this violent had ever happened. We didn't know who had gone after his family, if somebody was going to come after him, if somebody was going to come to the office and come after him. There was just a lot of dissettlement within the office. And constantly having to, employees were scared.
But your mind didn't go to, gosh, I bet he killed his wife and son because I asked him about the Ferris fee, right?
No.
Then after that, you didn't continue investigating the Ferris fee. You let Lee Cope deal directly with Chris Wilson.
Lee Cope advised me that he would take over.
Okay. But the inquiry and the Ferris fee didn't stop because Maggie and Paul were murdered, did it?
it did as far as talking to Alec.
Well, I mean, Alec told you what he told you, and then the inquiry was, is he telling the truth, and let's deal directly with Chris Wilson, right?
Correct.
So the inquiry didn't stop with Maggie and Paul's murder, did it?
It stopped for a period of time.
How long?
A couple of weeks. Maybe a month.
The death of his wife and son got him 30 days reprieve on your investigation into the Ferris matter. Is that what happened?
Well, it did, and then we received word from Chris. At that point, we still did not receive the documentation, so it did delay receiving the documentation.
Now, let's be clear. When you're looking into the Ferris matter and you go in on June 7th, it wasn't reported to you by Maggie Murdoch that, hey, I think Alec's stealing money. You didn't have any conversation with Maggie about that, did you?
I never have conversations with Maggie.
Or Paul, he wasn't involved in any way with the Ferris fee, to your knowledge, was he?
I've never had a conversation with Paul.
And then you go, Lee Cope's dealing with Chris Wilson's office, and then turns out that Chris Wilson sends an email to Alec saying the money's on my trust account, and Alec forwards it on to you and Lee Cope. Is that
correct?
Right? And once that happened, there was no rush to grab the money out of Chris Wilson's trust account, was there, in July of 2021?
We did not make the rush at that point because we had enough operating money and we were going to come back to it. Typically, the attorney dealing with that case would handle it, and Alec was not in the office very much.
Okay. So the firm had plenty of money to operate, and you just needed to get the money into the firm by the end of the year when you did the bonuses. Is that pretty much how things were being looked at in July of 2021?
I don't know that we would have waited till December, but we just were not doing it at that point in that summer. It was actually just an irregular summer, both personally and professionally, keeping up with the other obligations and the time frame to get it.
And so in September of 2021, you're doing your CFO job. You decide to, and you had this Hertzberger thing, you know, on your desk, or, I mean, you said it was on your desk, was it on desktop, or you just had a sheet of paper?
Well, it's kind of where my important stuff is that I need to get back to, so it's sitting right under a monitor right in front of my face.
And you, you talked about you had a number of commitments and it's personal issues, I think you said. I don't want to know about your personal issues, but what I do want to establish is Maggie and Paul's murder did not cause you to delay in following up on the Hertzberger matter, did it?
In some ways, yes, because the shock of it and the delay and the things going around the office did, but the true delay came in me finding the time to do it.
Yeah, you had a lot of other things going on.
Yes.
And what you decided to do is to see if there were some other kind of structured fees that Alec had done in 2021 to sort of, like you did the Hertzberger case, because you needed to know what his gross collections were and how much he owed to the firm, and that's why you looked in September 2021, right?
Correct, and I'm also still suspicious, you know, in my own mind. I wanted to make sure that he had accounted for everything and that we had indeed collected everything.
Right. And so you ran a report at the law firm of clients with settlements. I mean, tell us what you did.
Well, I started running a report of all the fees that he had collected and started looking through those disbursements. And then it came to me that I could probably shortcut this a little just by printing off payments to Forge. And then I started focusing on those first. And that's when I found the checks and the information that I found.
And that, let's start. Do you remember about what his fee collections were about September of 2021?
I've got so many numbers in my head, but they were over a million, probably between $1 million and $2 million.
$2 to $3 million?
$1 million to $2 million.
$1 million to $2 million of fee income that he had collected.
Correct.
When you run this report.
And correct.
Did that include or not include the $792 on the Ferris case?
It did not.
So if you add the Ferris case, it could have been over $2 million?
I guess I can't swear to what his number was. I look at numbers all day long, but that's the recollection of the range he would have been in.
And after this, after you've learned about this fake Forge account, Alec didn't, he was forced to resign from the firm
That's correct.
The day or the next day, right?
The next day.
And so that money that came into the firm was used by the firm to pay off some of these victims, right?
We have done some of that, yes.
Now the discovery of the fake Forge account, when you were sort of, when you ran the report on Forge, that shocked you, didn't it?
Yes.
That information had been in the systems of the law firm going back, I guess, to 2015 when that fake Forge account was first opened.
I don't know when, I don't think it was open that far back, but I had no reason to suspect anything was going on. We had no clients complaining about money missing. Trusted him, we had no reason to look.
Right.
For a lot of people, like I said, myself and us included.
And that's a good point. Their clients weren't calling up complaining around June 7th that, hey, y'all need to be looking at Alec because, you know, something's amiss here. That wasn't happening around June 7th, was it?
No, and shamefully, when we did talk to the clients, they talked about how much they trusted Alec and how much he thought of them and how that they were shocked and confused by the fact that he had manipulated them and confused them all these years.
And so it sounds to me like on June 7th, you didn't observe some pressure cooker going off within the firm as to how Alec was handling his business.
I don't know about anybody else's pressure cooker. I knew I was putting pressure on him to get the answers for the Ferris fees.
And it was a brotherhood of lawyers that in the past, if they've caught with getting more than what they were entitled to, they pay it back and you let bygones be bygones. That's how it's operated in the past, right?
On trust, yes.
Right. Now, so you ran a report on information that had been in the systems for years, is that correct?
Correct.
And the tragic murders of Maggie and Paul didn't do anything to affect what was in your systems?
No.
Right. And you just started looking because you had had a conversation with Alec back in May about the Hershberger fee going to Forge, not in an appropriate structured manner. And that was in early May, and you never had another conversation with him about that, right?
Well, May and June, in between, it was late May and June, the conversations about both were kind of in tandem, because every time we would talk about Ferris, he would bring up, I'm going to structure fees. But it never specifically readdressed the fact that Hershberger, it did address the fact that he should not be doing this again, and that if he should, he needed to let somebody know. I believe Alec, meanwhile, was going around complaining to my partners about why I was on his case.
To his partners?
Yes.
And the, now just to be clear, the Ferris fee money was, I mean, it didn't show up on any of these reports, and it was all paid into the law firm, was it not?
It was after sometime after September.
So here you are on September the 3rd, and you are running a report. You see a lot of forged checks on Alex's client files, and you start printing off the checks.
That's correct.
And that's how you discovered it. I mean, it was that Alex, and not only he's signing checks to forge, he's endorsing the checks and putting them into the bank.
Correct. And at the same day is when Annette found the check on his office that had been payable to him for the Ferris fees.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. So Okay. You're just, I mean, that was pure coincidence.
Yes, the timing of that is pure coincidence. Yes.
And Alec, as you understood, was confronted perhaps the next day or that
on Friday morning. I believe that was Friday the 3rd.
So it was the same day that you...
I did mine on Thursday the 2nd.
So the 2nd, you did yours.
Okay.
On the 7th in the afternoon, Alec called you and asked you what his balance was in his law firm retirement plan.
Yes, sir.
And he told you he was working on the financial disclosure for the voting accident case?
Yes.
And he had called you on other occasions to get that balance because he was filling out financial statements for one thing or another, right?
He had before, yes.
Okay. And do you know, he didn't have any life insurance on Maggie or Paul, do you know that?
I have no awareness of that.
Redirect.
Very briefly, Your Honor.
You were asked some questions about when you had the conversation about the Ferris fees, and what was your concern then with just the Ferris fees back at that point in time on June 7th?
That he was trying to shelter money from the boat wreck or move assets out of his name or either delay collecting fees. So trying to hide income from the boat wreck.
At that point in time, did you have any idea about any of all of this?
I did not.
You were asked about prior instances in which there had been like the loan, the double loan payment and the credit cards, and Alec paid that back, right?
That's right.
And he paid that back and everything was forgotten, is that correct?
That's right.
You were asked about whether or not all of this was in your systems.
That's correct.
And it was in your systems, wasn't it?
It was.
Since 2011, correct?
That's right.
And he had gotten away with it all that time.
He did.
I believe you testified that on June the 7th, 2021, when you went in to talk to Alec Murdoch, that you had your suspicions, correct?
I did.
And you demanded what? What did you demand from
him? I demanded proof that the money was actually in the account. I wanted the ledgers showing the transactions.
And did you tell him what you believed? Did you tell him why you wanted that proof?
I told him I had reason to believe that he had received the fee payable to him.
You were asked a little bit about the law firm, and his father was in the law firm or had been?
He had been, yes.
Was his grandfather in the law firm?
Yes.
Was there a long history of that family name in this law firm?
Yes.
Is it the most prominent law firm in the area?
I believe so, yes.
A very prominent family name?
Yes.
All this has been in your system since 2011?
Yes.
Once the murders happened, it didn't seem right to be raising those issues with the defendant then, did it?
No, it didn't.
Don't lead the witness.
After the murders happened, did it seem right to you to raise those issues to the defendant?
No, as I stated earlier, we were concerned about the welfare of Alec and the feelings of himself. He was not at work, and we were trying to make sure that he was emotionally okay and able to deal with things before we pressured him about anything.
And then just a few weeks later, as still in, just in July, are you still in shock from all of these murders?
Yes.
And did ultimately you get an email from Chris Wilson?
I did on July 19th.
And what did that email say?
Chris said that he had the money in the trust available to us.
He's got the money, so no big deal, correct?
Correct.
Did you still, though, in the back of your mind, have some suspicions going back for a while?
I had suspicions that I didn't really believe that because I'd yet to see the ledger or the proof, and it seemed like there was no reason not to send that to me if something wasn't going on.
When ultimately you turned back to these issues and that Chris Wilson check was found, did that result in the uncovering of all of this?
It did.
Did that result in him losing his job at the law firm?
It did.
Where his family name had been a fixture there for decades.
Correct.
Did that law result in him losing his license to practice law?
It did.
And the defense asked you that. Did that result in him facing a ton of criminal charges based on all of that?
Yes.
All of that was on the cusp of being uncovered, was it not?
Yes.
Was that on the cusp of being uncovered?
Yes.
Any further exam?
Very briefly, Ms. Secondier. The finding the Chris Wilson check was coincidental to your work on the Forge account research, correct?
Yes, but as we uncovered the Forge, we knew we had a problem.
I understand. And it was the Forge issue that led to all of this.
It had eventually been the issue if we'd requested Chris Wilson, regrettably, that we did not at July, we would not have received the money because the money was not in there. We found that out later.
Well, we'll find out about that, but the Chris Wilson issue is a one-off compared to all these other transactions that you brought here today, right?
That's right.
All right, thank you.
You may step down.
Thank you.
And we will break for lunch and resume at 2:40.
That concludes segment number 3 of our continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murtaugh. There is more to come. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage and insight into the case. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your
physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.